Bald Face Lodge is a supporter of Kootenai Co-op Radio.
Nelson Box Office and Copy Center offers volume black and white and color printing and copying, eco-friendly risograph printing with vegetable-based ink, and computer output from Macs and PCs. Nelson Box Office and Copy Center also has a large selection of scrapbooking supplies and weekly scrapbook workshops. Nelson Box Office and Copy Center, 622 Front Street in the West Arm Plaza.
Au Soleil Levant, Artisan French Bakery, is a supporter of Kootenai Co-op Radio.
The Redfish Grill on Baker Street is a proud supporter of Kootenai Co-op Radio.
Let us assume a third toke, long and slow. You vaporize, and you take it in and in and in, and there is a sound like the crumpling of a plastic bread wrapper, or the crackling, or the blame, or the and there is this.
You're listening to Kootenai Co-op Radio 93.5 FM, CGLY, broadcasting live from Nelson and over the worldwide mycelium on www.kootenaicooperadio.com.
There is a cheer. The gnomes have learned a new way to say who.
Listeners, this is Fane of the Cosmos, Infinite Moment. I'm your host, Dustin Sunflower. And on today's show, we're going to be going into the flashback series. We're going to be going back 2 years past on this radio show and listen to some old interviews. It's part of the Kootenai Co-op Radio 5th year anniversary. And so Fane of the Cosmos is doing the flashback series. Yes, we're going to be flashbacking back. I have flashbacks all the time in the studio. And tonight we're going to have some real ones. So stay tuned. It's an interesting fellow. You know what? I can't actually remember his name now. But it's a tantric sex... He was holding a workshop here. We'll find out more about that with guest Ian Hunter. God bless him. Keep him forever. Goddess bless him and keep him forever. Also, we'll be talking about Alberta's plans to introduce new legislation which would allow for children to be taken from homes of parents who are growing pot, dealing pot, or smoking pot. You got it. More Albertan craziness in the middle frontier. We'll find out more about that and other news stories. So stay tuned. This next tune is from Left Field and it's going out to DJ Alun.
Talk truth. Long time without them, I come for it now. You think what they done, you think what they do all. Well, you know. Going out to all the wretched souls. Come again, come again.
Check one.
Welcome back. That was Left Field. That was going out to DJ Alun. Now, if you're a parent in the Nelson area who is growing pot, yeah, if you're growing cannabis, you got some plants in your yard, you got some plants upstairs where the kids never go, or you're smoking pot, or hell, you might even deal a little pot on the side, you might want to pay attention to the next news item. Alberta is set to introduce new legislation regarding child welfare and grow ops. Now, this is an interview with Forsyth from the CBC. I'm actually quite pleased with her interviewing style. It's right on the button, and you have to listen to this minister. So, let's listen. This is from CBC, and brace your kippers for some drug war craziness.
The government of Alberta has come up with a new weapon in its war on drugs. Yesterday, Premier Ralph Klein announced that his government is preparing legislation that will give the province the power to take children from parents who are drug users or involved in the drug trade. The legislation would be the first of its kind in Canada. Heather Forsyth is Alberta's Children's Services Minister, and she's in Calgary.
Minister, what people are you targeting with this proposed legislation?
Well, the drug endangered children legislation that we're targeting is any children exposed to illegal drug manufacturing, whether it's grow ops, whether it's meth houses, drug trafficking, or any form of illegal drug abuse. We believe that the children in this province are being abused, and we want to protect them.
So if you're saying that if somebody is growing plants in the basement, you can seize their children?
If they have a grow up, which is the manufacturing or growing of marijuana, yes. If they are cooking in regards to a meth house, if they are drug trafficking, or even if the parents are drug abusers, we believe that our children need to be protected. We're apprehending children at least once a week in this province under horrific conditions. We believe it's child abuse, nothing more, nothing less.
But let's take the grow up again as an example. I'm sure there are other criminals who have children, and it's too bad for the children, but they may not be abusing the children.
I think people have to understand the horrific conditions if they have ever seen a grow up in regards to the environment that these children are exposed to. In this country, it is illegal, and that's pure and simple. So we need to make sure our children are protected.
From what?
From the horrific conditions that they are put in front of when you have parents who are growing marijuana in a grow-up. A lot of times these are organized crime. We rarely, if any time, have seen one or two plants. What we are seeing is many, many plants that are grown, and the environmental impact, the toxins, the mold, is something that you probably wouldn't want to see.
I can't quite believe that you could see somebody's children because there's mold in the house, though.
Well,
you know
I'm sure,
saying?
Mary Lou, you would not want your children exposed to those type of conditions. Our idea is to rescue them, defend them, shelter them, and support them.
There are many children that I wish were not live growing up in the conditions they are, but I don't. I wonder if you really want the state to be able to go around seizing people's kids.
For a
reason like this.
You know, let's be frank here. The state is not going to seize them. We are going to apprehend them. We will work with the families to say that this is not a good condition for your children to be living in. They're your children, and we know you love them, but you need to think about some of the conditions that they're exposed to.
But if you discover the grow house, that's the end of it anyway. Presumably the parents are going to, or one of them is going to be charged and perhaps serve a prison term. And then life goes on without the grow-ops. So where does seizing children come into it?
Anytime you expose a child to illegal activities, mm-hmm. then they need to be apprehended. I don't know why anyone in this country would like to have a child exposed to illegal activities.
That sounds a bit broad. I mean, if someone is a fence, you're going to steal their children?
You speak speak about broad. You're using one or two plants. I'm speaking about some of the horrific conditions that we have apprehended our children in this province and many other children across this country from horrific conditions so bad that most houses are condemned.
I would have guessed that the existing law would protect children against truly horrific conditions, though, wouldn't it? If you went to court and said to the judge, here are these children, are being neglected, are being poisoned, are being whatever, then you already have the authority to remove them from the house, don't
well,
you?
And you're correct. But we had that same piece of legislation many years ago in the Child Welfare Act when I brought forward the Protection of Children Involved in Prostitution Act. And it won in the courts that these children were being sexually abused. So we had our Child Welfare Act. We had a standalone piece of legislation that made it very, very clear that we believe the children in this province under that piece of legislation were being sexually abused. We've apprehended over 900 children under that piece of legislation, and many of them are well and now healing.
Where do the children go when you take them?
Under the Protection of Children Involved in Prostitution legislation?
Under any of these laws?
Under the Protection of Children Involved in Prostitution, they are apprehended to a safe house. We have the ability to hold them for 5 days while they get off drug and alcohol. After that, they can go into a volunteer component of the legislation, or it can go into a court order of 2 to 21 days.
We haven't talked about the users in this proposed legislation that you're talking about that targets drug users.
Under this,
again, if somebody is caught using marijuana, can you take the children?
Under this piece of legislation, if we apprehend the child, we have penalties of a fine of not more than $25,000, and they could be imprisoned for not more than 24 months, or both a fine and imprisonment. When a guardian willfully causes a child to be a drug-endangered child, and then it's up to the courts to make that decision.
How do you determine how you get a drug-endangered child? What does that mean?
A drug-endangered child is anyone who is exposed to a drug-endangered situation, and that's they could be involved in where a child is exposed to illegal drug manufacturing,
yeah.
Grow-offs, indoor cannabis, illegal drug trafficking, and any other forms of illegal drug activities are victims of abuse.
So not necessarily taking a toke.
Well, not necessarily taking a toke.
That wouldn't lead
no.
you to bring in the
no.
authorities.
The government is committed to protecting children from the dangers of exposure to illegal drug manufacturing.
Mm.
Grow-ups, as we explained, drug trafficking, and any other forms of illegal drug activity.
All right, Minister, it was good of you to take the time.
Thank you.
Alberta's Children's Services Minister, Heather Forsyth, was in Calgary.
All right, folks, we have more drug war hysteria going down. I don't know about you, but Alberta is only one province away, but it seems like light years away in any decent thinking. A grow-up. What is a grow-up exactly? Well, it's a place where plants are being grown. Most grow-ups are hidden away because you don't want them to be found, and definitely you don't want your children to find them. The interviewer was right. There is already legislation that can deal with any situation that endangers a child. This is more drug war hysteria aimed at... Basically, aimed at people who are growing pot. I mean, we have legislation already in place that protects children from anything that's harmful. It can be deemed harmful. You go before a court, you make your argument, and yes, sometimes they can take the kids. But to just have a blanket law that subjects kids to being taken from their families for growing pot, to me, just seems a little outrageous. We also haven't taken into account the fact that some parents are also on the Health Canada marijuana growing medicinal end of things. This is a letter from Allison Merton. My name is Allison Merton, and I'm a legal licensed marijuana grower in Canada. I'm also a federal medical marijuana exemptee. To educate Ms. Forsyth on the issue of why we need to legalize, tax, and regulate all drugs, I would like to introduce her to Law Enforcement Against Prohibition at www.leap.cc. LEAP speakers from all over the globe speak of the exact need for the elimination of the black market and call for the end to drug prohibition in order to save our children. Just like alcohol prohibition, prohibiting drugs is not and will not ever work. The legislation you are proposing does not deal with the aspect that Health Canada licenses over 200 medical patients and that this puts them at serious risk. This is not to mention the thousands of other law-abiding sick people who have prescriptions from their family physicians. What now do you propose we as legal users of illegal substances do to get our medicine? In closing, if you're truly concerned about drug use and users, why not educate them to the harm reduction tools that are readily available instead of using our children as a bargaining chip in the war on drugs? Imagine you're a medical exemptee. You're growing pot in your house. You're growing some herb, some medicinal herb, because you're ailing, you're sick, you're dying. But that's not good. That's not good for your kids. That's not good for them to know that you're actually have a marijuana laboratory in your house. They would come and seize your kids. It doesn't take that into account at all. And if it's okay for someone who's medically growing cannabis, what are the harms to someone who's growing cannabis for personal, recreational, or spiritual use? None. Yes, if you're a grower out there right now and you have an indoor grow up and you have children, you have to be careful. Remember, keep the door locked. Remember, ballasts and other electrical equipment should be high off the ground. Remember that any fans, chemicals, any fertilizers you're using, any pumps, anything that can endanger the children should be locked away behind a door that they cannot access. We all know these things. These are risks that can be mitigated by using your brain. It's not something that will endanger your children. Myself, I don't see how growing flowers can put your children any worse a risk than, say, someone who's hydroponically growing tomatoes or orchids, like one bust happened there last year where they busted down a house and found that people were growing rare kinds of orchids. Now, does the equipment that is growing orchids, does that put the children at risk? No. It's because it's a restricted plant that all of a sudden there's a risk. If someone's brewing beer in their house and they have a brew-op, and they're growing beer, and there's chemicals in there too. There's fermentation, there's CO2 gases that can be released, that can be inhaled. There's alcohol that could be drunk. The kids could go blind, they could die, they could get drunk. All those things are risks too. Are we going to start busting parents who also have brew ops in their house? It's more draconian legislation that can only be dreamed up by people who are high on oil. High on oil. And I don't mean hash oil. I mean oil. They are getting lots of money, and the conservative agenda in Alberta is just going completely mad here. So we got to make sure that this kind of legislation doesn't cross the Rockies. We have to fortify ourselves against such ridiculousness. And be ready to fight it at every instance. This kind of criminal sanction, again, does not address the issue of people who are ill, people who need medical attention, people who might need help. Doesn't address any of those issues. It's charge first, rip the kids away from their families, and ask questions later. And that just doesn't work. I will tell you right now, there's lots of kids in homes right now where parents drink alcohol and are abusive, verbally abusive, physically abusive, and the ministries are not firing off and going after those people. They're allowed to continue. Someone who drinks alcohol in the privacy of their own home and gets drunk and is, you know, maybe not a good parent, those people are not subjected to this kind of you know, Big Brother kind of intervention. Kids should be with their parents. And even if their parents smoke pot, even if their parents grow flowers, myself, meth lab, well, there is already legislation to cover that kind of danger. If you are brewing meth or using any harsh chemicals to make methamphetamine, take into account your kids, take into account your own personal risk, take into account flammable liquids and gases. It's never good. Do it somewhere else where your kids are not at. All these risks can be mitigated just by using your brain a little. So, I don't know, I get really freaked out. And, like, picture the poor people who are sick and trying to grow pot just because they're ill. They don't want to have to deal with craziness like cops busting down their door. You know, these people are sick and they just want to get on with their life. Oh, boy. I know, it just drives me nuts. But anyway, this next tune is from Aphrodite, and Aphrodite is playing tomorrow night. He played at Shambhala. It'll be a nice show down at the Fluid. Not to be missed. Here we go. This is Aphrodite with How High.
Like a piece of blue steel, pointed at your temple with the intent to kill. And then you your existence. Yeah. M-E-T, ain't no use for resistance.
Come on.
H-O-P, I shift like a clutch with the ruck. Examine my nuts, I don't stop till I get enough. 6 million ways to die, so I chose. Made it 6 million in one with your eyes closed. The blindfold cold so you can feel the rap. And shattered the glass in second half on your funky ass. And you're my man. Hit me now. Just used to play me, now they can't forget me now. They get me not, I rock the spot, check clock.
All right, that was Aphrodite with How High. Now, this past weekend was a trash to treasure. And you've got to love that because, man, I heard of some booty, looty, non-fruity, tooty pickups this weekend. People getting computers, teapots, pictures, clothing, furniture, couches, pull-out beds. And a few lucky Nelsonites discovered those large bags of leftover bud trimmings. Yes, folks, if you were quick enough on the morning, you might have found a couple of garbage bags full of leaf trimmings that were left on an innocuous corner somewhere in Nelson, British Columbia. In fact, a few bags were left on a number of corners. In those bags were leaf trimmings, bud niblets, and little popcorn chunkies that, yes, hash to treasure. You got it. Some people were making bubble hash from the hash to treasure this weekend. We were hoping to have an in-depth interview with one of the primetime trash to treasure finders. We were unable to get them for the interview tonight, but let me tell you, there is quite a culture out there. This hour of Fane of the Cosmos is brought to you by El Taco Mexican Restaurant. Get down if you got the munchies. Right, it's just right across from the big pink building, you know, the government building, and just down from the library, El Taco Mexican Restaurant. Andale! Get down! So, not only that, we also gotta do a shout out for the laundromat at the West Arm Plaza. The West Arm Plaza laundromat is Fane of the Cosmos' favorite laundromat service. The people have always been kind there. They've always helped me out. They've always, you know, made sure my laundry's good. Well, the other day, a hemp hoodie went missing. With heads bowed, we were so sad. The hemp hoodie was gone. But 3 weeks later, the hemp hoodie was returned. The West Arm Plaza laundromat. You gotta love those people. This is not an advertising announcement. This is just to say thank you for returning the hemp hoodie that went missing in the laundry. Only West Arm Plaza laundromat could pull it off. We love you. So, we had Hash to Treasure. We also had a show. Dang, that was last night. Ought with Adam Shake. And it was a great show. Adam laid down a wicked set and Ott laid down a wicked set. Some computer difficulties made it impossible for him to continue doing a long set. And so Adam took over again. But it was a great night of music, that is for sure. This next track is from Saul Williams. Okay, wait a second. I pressed the wrong. I'm sure that's not the right CD. It isn't. So here we go. This is the actual song I wanted to play. That's a good one, though.
September 12th and the sky has fallen, the sun has risen, a city built of five dimensions undergoing circumcision, 8 days under Judaic law.
Dear diary, I'm fiery. Divine wind's my friend. Took me back to the beginning when I swore it was the end. From the fiery depths, found the ocean within. My penmanship seals it straight through my lips. I'm hip to your games, hip to the science of war. Propaganda make me fight, but what am I fighting for? My way of life, means and rights, give or take less or more. See through the eyes of the poor, plus I'm black to the core. Ignorance is on tour, booking stadiums and more. The days of Hitler painted pictures patriotic with gore. You raise a flag on a land, snatch a bored eagle's claw, and stamp the symbol on your currency to finance your war. I'm saying no, not in my name, not in my life, not by my hands, that ain't my fight, not in my name.
You wage a war against terrorists and violence, and try to wave your guns of fear and sword in the silence.
I'm saying no, not in my name, not in my life, not by my hands, that ain't my fight, not in my name.
You built your empire with natives and slaves, like the truth don't resurrect, wage a war from its grave.
We got brothers on the sideline, ready for the front line. Tell me when it's my time, won't you tell me? We got women on the sideline, ready for the front line. Tell me when it's my time, won't you tell me? You won't put it in your headline. People are with that line. Do we need a headline? Do we really?
We only see what they want us to see. We'll only be what they want us to be. Fighting in their army.
We pledge resistance. We pledge to defend civil liberties against social and political repression. We pledge alliance with those who have come under attack for voicing opposition to the war. We pledge to make common cause with the people of the world to bring about justice, freedom, and peace. Another world is possible, and we pledge to make it real. No, not in my name, not in my life, not by my hands, that ain't my fight, not in my name.
You wage a war against terrorists and violence, and try to wave your guns of fear and sword in the silence.
No, not in my name, not in my life, not by my hands, that ain't my fight, not in my name.
You built your empire with natives and slaves, like the truth don't resurrect, wage a war from its grave.
Opposing armies, armies opposed to ancient truths of the shamans and swamis. And it's not about retaliation. Your history of war does nothing more than scar imagination. Increased security, religious purity. Your blindfolded justice make you trust in fatuity. Like it's random, it's tandem. Fuck you and damn them. You teach to attack and then question who planned them. No, not in my name, not in my life, not by my hands, that ain't my fight, not in my name. You wage war against terrorists and violence, and try to wave your guns of fear and sword into silence. No, not in my name, not in my life, not by my hands, that ain't my fight, not in my name. You built your empire with natives and slaves, like the truth don't resurrect, waging war from its grave. You wanna put me on your blacklist? You can use my blood for ink, your communion to drink, and remembrance of a nation that forgot how to think. Hypnotized by your lies with not even a blink. What? You wanna put me on your blacklist? You can use my blood for ink, your communion to drink, and remembrance of the all I seen. Big brother, RIP to the powers that be, overcome by the powers of being.
That was Saul Williams with September the 12th. Now, here's a news headline here. Two BC men arrested at Washington border after pot seized from horse trailer. So it's the usual 150 kilos worth of pot and 10 hockey bags in a horse trailer. But this is the quote that I thought was most interesting. Earlier this week, custom officials seized over 180 kilos of marijuana at the Blaine, Washington crossing in a shipment of steel doors being imported to California from BC, Milne said. The marijuana was concealed in the hollow openings of the doors where glass panes would be installed. No arrests have been made in that case. This is the quote. Our main mission is to keep terrorists and terrorist weapons out of the United States. And in doing so, we're very vigilant about all kinds of contraband that enters our country, Milne said. I love when they compare someone smuggling pot with a terrorist. If anything, they're trying to help heal the nation. So here's also another kind of interesting article. This is from the Tuesday, October 18th, Nelson Daily News. It says, bar and restaurant owner eyes seat on council. And I guess this is Tanya Finley says her reasons for running for council, a seat on Nelson Council, are simple. She's interested in, you know, bringing forth different issues. But this is one quote I thought that was very interesting. Finley feels drug awareness is a major struggle in the Heritage City and the surrounding area. I'd like to reach out to our youth and ensure that drugs don't affect their futures by increasing the amount of education and provincial assistance around drug awareness. Now, it's always very interesting to me when a bar owner comes out for more drug education. I'm hoping that she's also including the fact that alcohol is a hard drug and that her being a hard drug dealer, that is taken into account when she's running for council, and that her being an alcohol dealer should be taken into account with pod dealers and other drug awareness. So, reading it with interest and just wondering, hopefully Tanya has studied the issues well enough, and hopefully a drug dealer in a hard drug like alcohol should be able to have a level head when dealing with other, say, less harsh drugs. So the next installment of Fane of the Cosmos is going to be a flashback series, and this is one that's coming from April 4th, 2002 with Ian Hunter. This is an interview we did with a fellow from the United States. So I'm just going to load it up here and get things rolling. These new CD players in the studio are great. I remember in the old days there was different, you know, we sometimes struggled with equipment, but I'm telling you, as of late, the equipment has gotten pretty awesome. So this is an interview done in 2002. Enjoy. This hour of Fane of the Cosmos is brought to you by El Taco Mexican Restaurant. We love those people down there, so support them if you can. So this is from 2002, April 4th, and this is part of the flashback series on Fane of the Cosmos in honor of 5 years of radio programming, and proud to say that Fane of the Cosmos has been on KCR since day one, making it one of the longest running shows in Nelson Community Cooperative radio history. Here we go. Now I'm just got to make sure I've got it on the right dial here, so you might hear some wheeling and dealing, but here we go.
Yoga and in Eastern Tantra.
Okay. Whoa. Whoa.
Stuff as well.
Okay, we have to go back a bit.
Hi, okay. Caller. Can you hear us?
Okay, here we go.
Hi there.
Hi, welcome. You're right now you're in Nelson, British Columbia.
Thanks.
And this is the Fane of the Cosmos, Infinite Moment.
Don't I sound so innocent and sweet in those days?
Thursday night.
Yeah, we're also broadcasting around the world on the internet too.
Right. Good.
So, on previous shows, we have talked about Mantak Chia.
Uh-huh.
And the ancient Taoist secrets that have been handed down.
We've also talked about more of the Kundalini yoga and Eastern Tantra.
Uh-huh.
Stuff as well.
What exactly is your workshop?
Well, you know, for 20 or 30 years now, I've been involved with sexuality and spirituality. And I've come to this point, you know, in my discoveries, and where the Taoist approach to me seems the most relaxed and natural. So I decided to do this yin-yang butterfly workshop here in Nelson from the 19th through the 21st. And really to try and come from that Taoist point of view. You know, we've heard so much about Tantra. Tantra is such a loaded word, really. And I just like the approach of the Taoist, which is such an ancient system of approaching sexuality from this very natural and happy and relaxing point of view. So I thought Nelson would be a good place to do this.
How did you how have these secrets come down to us?
Culture,
like the Taoist. Where is the Taoist community, and how have these secrets come down overseas to California, to Nelson?
Well, you know, the way, you know, we've been in such a place of translation for so many years now of Eastern techniques, you know, at all levels. For instance, you know, the secrets of Kriya Yoga from Yogananda's teachings have come through and been translated into things such as rebirthing and into other yogic methods. And so just generally on the planet now, it's such an open book. And so things that were hard to find about now, before, you know, now travel very easily. And there's any number of old texts were discovered, for instance, through the 1800s and so, that were translated, that point back to very ancient teachings on sexuality, and incidentally, mostly by the ancient wisdom here was from three female teachers, because always the females are actually the teachers of this. It was the same in Tibetan Buddhism. The Sky Dancing teachers, the Dakinis are the teachers to the gurus on the approach of sexuality. So we're just in a place now on the planet where there really are no secrets anymore. You just have to search a little deep to find.
Because before they seemed to... They were kind of highly guarded secrets because of the power that they could evoke in the person, and were kind of kept for emperors and kind of those in power because it was a power-based kind of thing. Can you comment on that?
Or? Yeah, well, you know, always it was considered, you know, an exclusive realm. But in fact, if you look more deeply into the Taoist things, you find very many ancient poems and songs and love songs, and often involve quite, you know, the ordinary people. I mean, it was a very open, healthy view that the Taoists had towards sexuality.
I'd read before that it was the secret of the golden flower, which is where I understand a lot of these techniques is being developed from, was actually from an eighth century Christian sect, which
could well have been. I don't know. You see, at that time it moved around in ADs. It was already moving into India, where we have the whole Shivite movement starts really from this movement. In Tibet we have a lot of movement into Lamanism, and we see the Tantrika Buddhist texts and these kinds of things. But actually in China it goes back much older than that. I mean, I think the first, because China was such an established continuous civilization, you know, you've got texts that go back to BC's 800 BC. Some of the first ones, and of course the oral traditions go back even further than that. And it's not that many of these things are very complicated. It's a lot of the Taoist approach is to do with health and longevity and happiness. And, you know, we have a very big mystical turn in the road that happens round about the 8th century AD, where we start to move into a more cosmic view of this. In terms of, for instance, if you look at a Tibetan tonka where you see the couple sitting in Nyabyum, this is a very great representation of the male and female wisdoms in the universe. And so this this moving towards that view is a very complicated and elaborate journey, and much in the West gets lost on this journey. You need quite a deep initiation, for instance, into Tibetan tantric approach, and it's a lot to do with visualization, actually, and not an energy transfers, and not so much to do with the simplicity of your sexuality, actually. It's much more symbolic than that. So we tend to get lost a lot in this tantric view in the West, and it gets, I'd like to bring it back a little more home in the simplicity, really, of the Taoist approach, because I think that's where we have to start in the West on this view, using this great vehicle of our sexuality towards spirituality, is in this sense with a very natural, healthy and happy approach to sexuality. And there's many great keys there which are very available. It's not very complicated to do with breath work and to do with, you know, positions and to do with finding an inner joy in oneself. And then moving how you start to use that energy and start to move that towards somebody else. Really taking your song and then combining it with somebody else's to make higher music, really.
So that's
the Taoist approach, really.
So your workshop will be focusing initially on individual self-cultivation, and then...
Yeah, I mean, on the Friday we will go through some Friday evening will be almost like an invocation, creating space for good work to happen, something of a guided journey work, and I'll talk a little bit also about the workshop. But then on Saturday, basically, you'll be working with your own energy, you know, opening up your body, opening up your senses, using some of these very simple techniques that the Taoists have, and starting to see that you actually are the source of a great ecstatic self, and starting to touch into that, in a sense, because unless that instrument is tuned, really, how can you really bring this towards somebody else? So most of Saturday will be involved with that work, play. You know, it's really more like that. But working with breath, with body, with senses, and then by the evening time we would do something with the men and something with the women, and then. And in the Saturday evening, we would do a ritual where we bring the men and the women together in a very safe and fun kind of dance into meeting the male and female energies, the Shiva and the Shakti, and seeing the different roles that we play in that. So at that point in the journey of the weekend, we bring the couple into being. And then on Sunday, we'll explore a bit more of partnering, of coupling, and how you bring those energies together. So that's kind of the tone of the weekend. And it's at a pretty basic level, I would say. But energetically, you know, you never can put off the availability of the moment. So there's a simplicity that flows through always when you start to deal with these with energies. And you can often see and get a view of yourself and your ecstatic potential in any one of these moments, whether it's in a breath or we'll stare into somebody else's eyes, and that's a good place to come from.
So it's not just for couples.
It can be for singles.
A single person could come along and
absolutely can benefit
okay.
from this. You know, I've spent many years teaching with Margot Nand and various other teachers, and usually we have an open workshop. I mean, if I'm going to work with couples, then I'll announce it as such, you know.
Okay.
So in your workshop, you go through like yoga moves. So you go through
I'll try and
breath
come
of fire
more
and such.
Yeah, I'll try and come more actually from a Taoist moves, you know, to do with chi and to do with...
like the microcosmic orbit and such?
Well, we may get that far, you know. It's may simplify that more into moving energy up through the body, you know, connecting from the sexuality up to the heart. I mean, this is such an enormous move of energy, you know, to go from the root energy up into the love. If you can make that journey, then already from the heart on out towards the vision, which is where we're looking into these tantras of Tibetan Buddhism and things, is a fairly, I wouldn't say an easy flow, but a natural flow from then. But being able to connect from the sexuality into the heart, this will be a focus on the Sunday of having cleaned the body somewhat, cleaned the senses, the windows to the body. On Sunday, we'll try and move into what I call the heart wave, which is moving the energy from the sexuality into the heart. Mm. So in that sense, we're starting to mimic some of the microcosmic orbit and simplifying it. In a sense, it's a translation. You know, I don't think we'll go too far with that. But if you can taste that energy moving up through your body and seeing that it does rise, you know, just like any natural, you know, a plant, it has roots in the ground and it flowers in the sky, you know, if we could see ourselves in that same way, with our energy flowing from our roots up through, you know, so much in the West we run from our head, you know, we're thinking about everything all the time, thinking about our sexuality, so we're not in a very natural state with it. If you can get a taste of that, I'd be very happy with the weekend.
It's a perfect time for it right now, with the spring. And
oh, yeah.
Up here, we've just had our snows just kind of leaving the ground.
Is it leaving now?
Yep, the snow's melting, and you wake up in the morning, and the birds are singing.
Yeah,
it's
beautiful.
It's glorious,
yep.
Right now.
Yeah, mating season is coming up in the Kootenays for sure.
Yeah, I was up, I came up in December. My son wanted a snowboard, so his birthday is December 8th, so we got there for the opening of the ski hill.
Oh, beautiful.
So we came up at that time, and I came up in last September for more of a private group, because some friends of mine were there, and they invited me up. So I very much like the area there, Nelson, and the people are so more relaxed than down here in the States.
We just did our news items about different things happening in the States, and we're just up here in the kind of hobbit folk up here in the mountains, hidden away from the...
Yes, we smoke our weed.
Yeah.
Well, it feels very protected there. I felt that when I was in Nelson, so I look for any excuse to come back.
Well, Edgar Casey has this area for being the best place to be in times of nuclear war.
So. I could imagine.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Fan of the Cosmos flashback series in commemoration of the 5 years of quality radio programming in the Kootenays from Kootenay Co-op Radio. This hour of Fan of the Cosmos is brought to you by El Taco Mexican Restaurant. Let's go to a tune. Aphrodite's playing tomorrow, and this song is called Sexual Healing, which kind of fits right in with what we're doing right now.